When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Up top, Bryson with a shot. That one, that's in the net. It's a 1-0 Sabres lead. Good save here at the near post. Now it's up front. That one's in the net. Yuri Kulik with a great shot. Gives Buffalo a 2-0 lead. The shot of a knockout. There's a knockout blow as Jason Zucker with a blast on the power play. Gains the Islander line. Kept in by Kulik. High slot. Passes off. Far post. Oh, tipped in. Then it scores. Sticking with the play. Benson going to the net. Cousins makes a nice turn for Quinn. Scores! Oh, what a shot that was. Merry Christmas, Jack Quinn. Thompson comes up with it. He's going to have a go at the empty net. And he puts it right in the middle for the sixth of the game. Dangerous play at the line. Sabres with a takeaway. Yuri Kulik with a shot. Scores! How about that from Yuri Kulik? He lets that one rip. 7-1. Sabres win it on Long Island. Going into the Christmas break. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Welcome in. You know what's in the bag, Marty Baron?
No, what's in the bag?
A win. Thank you.
Thank God. Thank you. I'm glad that you were waiting until the Christmas episode of Sabres Live to deliver a win, Duffer. I'm blaming you for that one.
Our producer is wearing the best Christmas sweater of all time. The yes. Vibes are immaculate. We're together again. It feels like it's been forever. I don't even want to go backwards and recap everything that has happened.
No.
Since we last spoke. But I do want to say, for old time's sake, I am wearing the greatest, most used gift of our annual, often silly Christmas exchanges.
So you mean that the scarf that I gave you, you mean the picture, the autographed picture you don't use as much? You don't like show around?
So we live in a world where we don't always go to the office as much as we used to. It is my desk at the office. So
yours is in my bag, but that's okay.
I do see it regularly. This is the scarf that is more than game worn. Now, it's a little tattered, a little ratty, but that's okay.
It's perfect.
It's still super comfortable. Ron was just sending us a message on social that he misses our gift exchanges on the air. I'm just giving the gift of joy this year. That may seem like a cheap cop-out, but I'm sending it to you, to our crew, and to everyone now that we can focus forward and hopefully take last night, extend it after the break, and then get into a better place. Are you with me?
I'm with you. And because the Sabres tweeted something about Festivus last night, and it was on Instagram, and in the spirit of Seinfeld, your gift and joy, George gifted everybody a donation to their name was made to the what was it, Jeff? You would know, our producer Jeff would know, but like the World Fund or something. The Human Fund or whatever. Yes. Yeah, so that's the gift of joy is way better, Duffer. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I was listening to you and Pat yesterday, and you guys did a fantastic job. I was laughing when Pat said he was this PTO was extended for a long period of time, which my son suggested the fee would be that I get to pick one of the Lego sets that Pat has in his house, like, because he has a I don't know that he'd part ways with any of them.
Nope.
So that's that. And, you know, so that was last night. But quickly, before we move on to last night and the season's greetings and all of that, I want to shout out to the Buffalo Police and the Sabres alumni that showed up in big, big numbers again this morning for a annual toy and food drive through the city of Buffalo. Obviously, Rob Ray was there, Daryl Shannon, Jim Lawrence, Zenon Konopka, Tim Kennedy. I'm not going to name all of them because Don Luce, I couldn't see everybody. It was packed with people, the volunteers, the families that come up to support. It was amazing. So we went around and did our thing, and it was another Christmas Eve morning success for the Buffalo Police and the Sabres alumni.
Awesome. Amazing to hear. And thank you, as always, for being a part of it as part of the alumni and the continued great efforts in the community by all involved at this important time.
Yes.
To be mindful of everyone in need. And when you say it that way, it's not the material things. It never is. It's just feeling a human connection to people who care. And honestly, this is, let me preface this by saying this is the most, there's never a script if you didn't know this already, but this is the most unscripted version of Sabres Live. And I'm okay with it because since you went down this path and I was going to later, and making connections with people, like, I think people, I know people, I know this to be true.
Yep.
I think people genuinely relate to us because we're pretty open and honest, but no matter what is actually being said, they can see how much it matters to us, right? So I'm not going to lie to you, Marty.
Not going to lie, be honest.
My head has been down a little bit lately. There are a lot of personal reasons for that. I went to the Bills game on Sunday.
Oh, good for you.
I haven't been in a long time.
Yeah.
And was there real early, walked through an awful lot of the tailgating experiences. The sun was glorious. Like, it was a perfect 4-hour window of blessed sunshine. It didn't matter. The temperature was irrelevant because it was so sunny and perfect, right? I ended up in the game day hospitality Buffalo tailgate area. And if you're on social, you're probably well aware of this group and many of the individuals who are involved. I am so thankful that I ended up there. I met so many incredible people. So many people who were just like, we're with you. They're going to get through it. And go Bills, right? Like, this is, and it was just this incredible, scene of positivity. And I wanted to say that I met this young guy, Chris, and this ties in with, you know, how people connect to some of the, especially the theme nights that we do.
Yep.
Chris's dad, Don, has been going through quite a battle. But their thing is, Don watches every game, and Chris makes sure to be there with him to watch every game. And Chris got really emotional talking about this, and it's still very much resonating with me. So last night was a great win for Don, great win for Chris, and hopefully a great win for a lot of families that were getting together to see the last game before the Christmas break.
And you mentioned about being in a giving mood. I felt like the Islanders were in a giving mood yesterday, which was fantastic. Yeah. So that's good.
Yes.
Not taking it away from everything that the Sabres did.
Right.
But you know what? Like, that was a good way to start the game, right? A bit of a giving mood. The Sabres get, you know, they're up 2-0. They're up 4-0, 5-0. It's like, okay, whew, we can breathe a little bit. We can have fun. Like, I'm in the shoes of Razor with Dan on the broadcast, and I'm like, oh, we can have fun now. We can really enjoy this. Like, we can talk about Butch Goring and that ugly helmet, but the one that he wore from the time he was a kid and going on, and how his, you know, acquisition from the LA Kings to the Islanders led to four Stanley Cups. But we can talk about all this stuff and have a lighthearted conversation while explaining the game and what's going on. So that was a ton of fun. And I was at the morning skate and I was watching the guys skating. And I kid you not, every single guy I picked in the morning skate that I was like, ooh, look at the jump on this guy today. Look at the jump that had an impact in the game at night. Like when I saw Jack Quinn on the power play in the morning skate and he put one underneath the bar on Ukko Pekka Luukkonen right over the shoulder, and it was like, oh. And all the guys are pointing at the goal, like, because it went in and out so fast that you didn't know. But everybody on the ice is like, goal. And it was, they were so happy for Jack to have made that shot in the morning skate. And then Jack hits the crossbar early in the first period, and then he gets the goal. Mm-hmm. You're like, goal. Like, I'm upstairs in the press box and I'm pointing at the net like, yes, Jack Quinn, like, that's a goal, right? When you're cool, like, he took
a
shot.
Where is that footage?
No, we didn't have a camera on us up there, but I was like, yes, pointing. I'm like, that's awesome. When Jiří, in the morning skate, there was nobody in the net. He just stepped on the ice, picked up a puck, and he was literally right in front of me. And he shot one into the empty net, and it went top corner, and it was so in and out so quick. And I was like, whoa, whoa, that was a shot. Like, that's what I want to see from Jiří. I want to see Jiří shoot. Every time he's got an opportunity, go and shoot from whatever location you're at. He gets a loose puck in the slot. He doesn't wait for anything. Boom, it's in the back of the net. In and out so quick that even us on the press box are like, oh, did that went in? Because we didn't hear the crossbar, but it went in and out so quick. And then he gets the seventh goal. I'm like, yeah, I saw it in the morning.
I don't think I've ever loved a seventh goal more than I loved his effort on that. Like, it's, absolutely. You know, it's so, someone said, oh, my God, what are you even talking about? And I get it. But with everything that's happened, I'm sorry. I'm going to take as many positives for individuals.
Yes.
And hope that then that continues to spread through the masses and they collectively get something going here.
Yeah, no. And that's why the Islanders were not quitting. Like, it's 5-1. They pulled their goalies with 12 minutes left. The coach is in. They were still trying to win this game, right? Like, is it a desperation move? Absolutely. But if I'm the Sabres, I'm like, we're going to continue to play. And Jiří made the play through the defenseman, steal the puck, goes up the ice, gets the goal. I'm like, that is exactly what I've been seeing of Jiří Kulik the last few games. Like, I feel like there's a maturity to his game that's coming through, but I want him to score. I want him to shoot. That's his thing. That's his tool. Use your shot. But he's done a lot, you know, outside of that shot. And I've liked that. Like to see Zach Benson. I mean, the way that he scored, like the rebound, the quick hands in front of the net. There was a ton of good in this game. Rasmus Dahlin, I mean, should have started with him because he was one in the morning skate.
It's funny. Like, you certainly never want to diminish a 4-point game, and his presence is obvious, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of shared success stories here. So I actually feel really good that we didn't just gravitate to a 4-point player or this or that. Like, it needed to be everything that you started experiencing at the morning skate from your experience within the game. You needed to see a level of, I would say, recognition and lightheartedness, in the sense of you're saying guys are pointing to the net when Quinn is shooting a puck and things like that. That shows engagement to me. One thing that Pat Coletta said when we were assessing Luukkonen's game, one of the first things he said was prepared this and that. And I was like, yes, he looked absolutely, for a goaltender who had been winless in 9 games, looked so spot on in all his markings and his stops, you know. And, you know, you're laughing because Pat doesn't want to analyze goaltenders ever.
I'm laughing because in the morning skate, it was goal, 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 goals,
right.
goals.
And I was going to tell you that.
Yeah,
never,
but I'm like looking at this and I'm like, it could either be great or it could be very bad, because I've been in those shoes where, like, you know what? A bad dress rehearsal, great show, right? That's the common thing. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, but again, like, I felt like, okay, take the good with the bad. Like, everybody has really got a good feeling about themselves, and Ukko Pekka Luukkonen can reset. Say, you know what? Guy scored in the morning skate, whatever. I'm going to reset for tonight. And he did. Mm-hmm. But you talk about Dahlin. Like, there was a play, maybe a second shift, where he joined the rush, lost the puck in the neutral zone,
yes,
came back, got it right back again in the rush. And I'm like, oh, that is an intensity that I feel like this year maybe Rask didn't have all the time, 100% of the time, probably because, you know, with back issues, you're like, oh, you know, sometimes you seize up, sometimes you're like uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like if 100%, there's a big difference in his assertiveness. And also because now he's like, I got to get in there and I got to make a difference. We've lost 13 in a row. Like we're winning less than 13. Let's go. And the way he spoke in the morning skate, saying multiple times, this is the last game I'm missing this year. I didn't want to be sitting out the game in Boston, but the doctors, the trainers all said I should. We got to make sure that everything's good. But he's knocking on wood left and right. That's the last game I'm missing this year. Tuck, 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 tuck. That's, I'm like, this is a guy that wants it and wants to make a difference. Now, you know, yeah, it's one game, but we've been obviously down a lot of late. We got to be happy and enjoy what was on the ice and what was displayed in the one game.
Right, exactly. Why don't we give you a little bit of Lindy Ruff just on the heels of last night? Like, and I think you just kind of led perfectly into it. It's one game, right? But it's on the heels of a lot of games. Good for Lindy, Jeff. Give her a whirl. Here's Lindy.
You guys, your group went through a lot over this last month. What's your reaction to see the way that they played and to get and finally get that result?
You know, I really think it started in Boston with the way we played. You know, we didn't find the back end of that in a couple situations there and played a heck of a game in our own end and, you know, limited opportunities. We're smart with the puck. I think we started off tonight the same way. Our puck play was real good. Our defending was good. And I think when you go through something like this, you know, a journey that is awfully painful, when you come out of it, you should be a better team.
You get that first goal, that seems really set the tone and get everybody focused on this moment. Is that sometimes it's all it takes to get the team going?
Well, you know, I think through the stretch, we've scored the first goal a lot of times. You know, some of our problem was we didn't finish games. So I think that we've learned now with puck management that, you know, the way to finish a game is just be a lot smarter team. And I even think we showed that tonight in the third period when they had a little bit of a push. And we had good sticks. You know, we deflected a lot of pucks. We blocked a lot of lanes. We denied a lot of plays in our own end.
Once you guys built that lead a little bit, did you just notice a difference on maybe just the body language and the way that the guys were just attacking the game and not sitting back?
Well, you know, I think we started the second period, you know, the same way. They had a little push to start with, and then I thought we found our game again. And once we found our game, I thought we got on our toes and tried to play on their end. I thought our puck movement going up ice was good. I think we left a couple plays out in the first period. We had two-and-ones again. You know, you mentioned rush chances this morning that we didn't get a shot on goal on. That, you know, we could have taken that game to 3 or 4-0 in the first period probably.
You mentioned denying chances. What can you say about the way?
All right, there's Lindy Ruff from last night, and that was actually one of the breakdowns that Pat Coletta had in the first intermission was the Thompson Tuck 2-on-1 where Pat talked about, look, your best players have a license for creativity, and you can't always assume that they're just going to shoot on that play. And at the end of the night, Tage gets a long-range empty netter with just under 10 minutes to go, which is amazing. Like, that warms my heart as much as any hot toddy at this time of year, honestly. And, you know, long live the goalie pulls with 11 minutes left, because you must be doing something right to earn that opportunity.
Yes.
As you know, my reality is, my promise every year is, if this team gets close to 20 empty net goals, they're making the playoffs. Okay, well, it's been a little bit of a dry spell, and they're at 6. So if they can somehow get 14 of them in the back half of this season, the remaining 47 games, then we're talking. Then we're cooking, and I might still be wearing this hat in May. That's the goal, and obviously Thompson was able to score and break out of a, you know, a handful of games without a goal. But
according to the game sheet, Duffer, how many feet was that goal from Tage Thompson yesterday?
I didn't look exactly. I would guess like 187. Or no, sorry, 185.
Okay, it was 172. Oh. So you got to figure it's 200 long. You got 10 feet behind both nets, so that's probably 180.
Yeah,
and then
it
was 8 feet from the goal line, so 172. So that's a long range. That is a long range empty netter. And I meant to ask the NHL stat, and maybe I'll do it after Christmas. What is the earliest empty net goal scored in the NHL, but also Sabres wise? So I would suggest that this may be Sabres wise.
Oh, it is Sabres wise. Like this season?
No, like history of the Sabres.
Yeah. Well, they might. Yeah. They should be able to track that.
They should be able to figure it out because they labeled them as empty net goal, but also is an empty net goal, like a delayed penalty, like situation, whatever. But I don't remember it happening ever. So that was kind of funny. In the fact that, you know, Tage Thompson scored, I was actually, this is what I was doing. I was on my computer researching when Patrick Waugh started pulling his goalie early with Colorado in the playoffs in 13, 14.
That was the year he won the
And I wanted to find the actual game when he did it, and everybody started to say, oh, we all have to do that now. And everybody's, and I was in the middle of like looking it up, and then I could hear Dan saying, Tage shoots it down the ice. I'm thinking, yeah, shoots it down the ice. He's in his zone. And then he scored, and I looked up. I was like, oh, I missed it. But you know what? That's fine because it was an empty netter. So it was good.
Funny you mention the Islanders coach, because once again, a result like last night had me looking at his record as the Islanders coach. Which is, it is what it is. I mean,
500?
You know, well, yeah, it's 549 if you include, like, if, you know, when you just stare at it the way the NHL system is. But again, like we spoke earlier in the year, an overtime and shootout loss is a loss, and he's got way more losses than wins. And it's just, the thing for me is what everyone says, is that nothing changes with the Islanders.
Nope.
And they have a lower points percentage since Waugh took over than they did with Lane Lambert before him. But Lane Lambert wasn't much different than the other incarnations of the Islanders, the pre-COVID, in COVID, out of COVID. Like, they're always really close. They had a couple where they crested over 100 points and were a little bit better, but they kind of are what they are. And again,
would you take Matt Barzal?
They made the playoffs 5 out of the last 6 years. Like, that's good. But they
would you take Matt Barzal right now? Would you take him?
He had one outstanding rush shift in the first period where I turned to Coletta, and Pat said it before I could even utter it. He's like, that's McDavid-like speed. And I'm like, exactly. And why do we not see it more out of Matt Barzal? He is a game breaker. And I don't know whether it's
year
systematically,
two.
like it doesn't, their style doesn't allow for it. I don't know. I just don't know. I love the talent of Barzal. I totally love it, but I don't see it enough, and that's frustrating.
How did he get 80 points last year? 80 points on a team that plays the way that they play, and he had 23 goals. Now, he's only twice in his career gone over 20 goals. He's making $9.1 million in year two of an eight-year deal. Mm-hmm. But I feel, for me, if I was a team, again, because we've had that discussion with the Sabres, right? Like, the Vultures are circling the Sabres, trying to get maybe some deal that they could get that would be beneficial to them and try to catch the Sabres in a panicking mode. But if I am one of those, you know, Vultures circling maybe the Islanders, trying to see what it would take to get Matt Barzal out of there, because I like his speed. I like his skill set. Not 100% sure on the hockey sense, which is, you know, important in the game, especially with him being the leader that he is. But the $9.1 million for 6 more years is very scary.
Yeah. Well, there are definitely a lot of contracts now in today's, you know, growing salary cap. And you say it with a hint of, ooh, that's a lot. I look at it and think, it's just kind of what business is nowadays. So I really don't, but
it doesn't scare me, but it just makes me think.
Of course, as it should. That's the thing. Like, we need thinkers, right? Like, we need to be thinking about this kind of stuff. And I don't know. It's been a strange last couple of days, last couple of games. And for me, as I'm sure many are feeling, the frustration is there's very little difference, I think, and the stats back it up, difference between Buffalo, Boston, and the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
But now the Sabres, because of these last couple of weeks, have created this gap that didn't exist 3 weeks ago, right? And so, but again, let me remind you, there's still 47 games left, right? And you don't have to get all 13 of them back in one shot. But are they capable of being an awful lot? Of course they are. That's what we saw for the first 2 months, right? Mm-hmm. They were there, and then they weren't there. That was for you, because that's
that
your
favorite. That was John Tortorella. You're there, but you're not there. Although they were there, Boston and New York Islanders, I made a point to look at block shots. And the reason that I made a point to look at block shots, because when the Sabres played Montreal and Patrick Laine was unloading one-timers after one-timers after one-timers, I'm like, get in front of it. Like, it's going to hurt, but get in front of it. And I looked, and the Sabres were 26 in the league in block shots. They averaged 14 a game. And I get that block shots are somebody up in the press box that's pushing a button when somebody blocks a shot, and it could, you know, you're the New York Islanders. You want to give all your team, your players, lots of block shots because you want that identity. Fine. But I looked at the last two games, and the Sabres were at 17 block shots halfway through the game yesterday against the New York Islanders. And the Islanders only had five, so it's not right. Like, oh, my God, that guy's giving block shots to everybody.
Correct.
But it makes a difference when you have Tuck and Samuelson get in the way, when you had Bo Byram take it inside the leg, when you had Malenstein making a couple blocks. Like, it makes a big difference. And I'm like, that's playing hard right there. Like, you don't have to score goals. You don't have to block a shot. That's it. Just block a shot and let's see where it goes.
And, you know, now you get into the holiday break, you enjoy the time with family, and you come out of it with no practice, of course, because that's the norm. You get a morning skate on Friday, and the Blackhawks are in. It's a national telecast, and of course, it'll be heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And before we take our first time out here on this holiday edition of Sabres Live, we remind you to purchase your tickets for the Give 716 Holiday 50-50 raffle presented by Northtown Automotive. There is a guaranteed pot of $71,600 plus second chance prizing that includes autographed Sabres and Bills items. Visit a seller in the arena or go to sabres.com/50-50 to purchase yours before the start of the third period on Friday night. Back after this, tons of fun stuff, league stuff, and who knows what on Sabres Live.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
And now Brindley's got it. Delbel Blues driving the net. He'll drop off. It's Sposal left circle. Sposal fires, and that one loose below the goal line. Oh, no. Oh, no. The puck didn't go in, and the fans are throwing the teddy bears early.
No. They keep throwing them.
Oh, no.
I have not seen that before. You kind of have to wait for
what
the...
What do you do now?
Yeah.
What do you do now?
That's the Monsters having a premature release of the teddy bears on Sunday. And, oh, the Amerks, of course, went on to win the game 3-2. So that
at
means
least they got a goal, but like,
Cleveland
yes.
did score later in the second period and caused a 15-minute delay with over 21,000 bears thrown on the ice because there were over 15,000 in attendance that day. It was an awesome spectacle, but made funnier by the, honest to goodness, I was watching it and... the, you know, hearing the PA in the background, no goal, stop throwing the bears, right? And then they cut to the mascot who made an impromptu sign.
Yes.
And it said, no goal, no toss, sincerely no goal, no toss. Management, you know? It was so good. And we ran it last night on the pregame show and felt we needed to give it to you again today because that was super fun.
We've had a few unexpected teddy bear toss events this year. So in one of the OHL game, one of the visiting player was upset that they got scored on, and he started throwing the teddy bears back into the crowd. So he got suspended in the OHL. And then we had another game where the goal happened at the side of the net, and everybody was whacking and cross-checking each other. So the goal happens, and then everybody on the ice dropped the gloves and started fighting. The lights are out and the teddy bears are coming on the ice. We're showing it on MSG. But it's like everybody's fighting and the bears are coming on and the Grinch is on the ice picking up the bears. And I'm like, there's fights going on everywhere. So we've had those two events and then the one with Rochester and Cleveland, which did not go in. Like, this was a very unique set of circumstances for the teddy bear tosses this year.
Oh, man, this stuff never gets old. It's just
unexpected. See something funny, Duffer, too.
I love it.
About maybe like a 16U or 18U hockey game, youth hockey game, like minor hockey game, that they got to, like, they were in front of the net and something happens and everybody's fighting. Everybody's punching each other. Now, all of a sudden, the door to the side opens. And one mom steps on the ice and she starts walking towards like everybody. And then everybody stopped. Like, that was the way to stop the fight. Like, one mom stepped on the ice and started yelling, "Hey, Johnny, stop that right now." And everybody stopped. They all looked over like, "Oh, yeah, there's a lady here. We better stop now." Like, who cares about the referee telling us to stop and or whatever? But the mom stepped on the ice. we're done. Okay, we're good. So the fight ended with a mom stepping on the ice and kind of yelling at everybody to stop.
And 1 year ago, my Christmas gift to you was Stifler's mom, the
Stifler's
band.
Stifler's mom's concert, yes. Yep. 100%,
and
which was still
shortly thereafter. We were in New York City enjoying Stifler's mom band.
You should message them
amazing.
Today. You should message them today because they're Islanders fans.
Oh,
you should say thank
right.
you for the Merry Christmas present. They're huge Islanders fans. You have to, Duffer, message them. You have to.
Well, do we want to see them again?
Yes, but I think
they'd love it. Because we were going to get guest listed moving forward.
I think they'd love it. Say, hey, guys, just reminiscing of the concert a year ago. It was awesome. And by the way, thank you for the win last night. Like, just rub it in a little bit. That's awesome.
I need a social media expert. Jeff, are you up for it this afternoon? I mean, you did go to college for it after all. So, oh, man.
Well, if anybody has not seen Stifler's Mom, the band, and you're in the New York area and Long Island area, wintertime, summertime, Google them, go and watch them. It was a two-hour nonstop. They didn't stop it. It's a medley for two straight hours.
13 band members, everybody taking a different lead, all types of music from the 90s. Like, we're talking everything. It was, and my, you know what? Going back to, like, the holiday season, joy, all that, my favorite part of it was you and I don't get a lot of time outside of our little on-screen time that we share. I enjoyed watching you enjoy it so much. Like, I was like, man, this guy knows everything. And
I was
so
in my wheelhouse. I mean, when they started playing like 90s, like, you know, pop and hip hop and then TV songs and, you know, theme songs or whatever, I was gone. I was sweating. I was dancing and singing and I was sweating. Yes, it was fun.
Okay, so around the NHL, I have to start with this. I've been thinking about you a lot the last couple of days.
Yep.
You can't even hold a Christmas candle or a fireplace candle, frankly, to the back-to-back shutouts by Jacob Markstrom.
Oh.
12 saves on Saturday versus Pittsburgh. 12 saves yesterday versus the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
What year is this? And what have the Devils done to the NHL? They have allowed, on average, 16 shots against over their last 7 games.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
They also may have broken the New York Rangers. It's official. The Rangers are – they scratched Chris Kreider, Duffer. They scratched Chris Kreider. Now, let's remember, they scratched Kaapo Kakko, traded him right away after, and it was like Kaapo Kakko was rumored to be on the move. Chris Kreider has been rumored to be maybe being shot by the New York Rangers, and then they scratched him. And Peter Laviolette, after the game, says, I got to go with you know, the best players that give us the best chance to win. I'm thinking, you're scratching Chris Kreider. How do you think that's going to affect your locker room? Like, this is a tough one. Maybe he didn't want to live the Kaapo Kakko line of sin. It's a lot easier to scratch a young guy than a veteran. So he said, you know what, let's pick a veteran and let's scratch him. But that was tough. That was tough to watch. He lost 5-0 to the New Jersey Devils in MSG. It wasn't good at all. And look, I know we've had our struggles here in Buffalo, but the New York Rangers, with what the expectations were this year, wasn't like, oh, hopefully they get in the playoffs. It was, they won the President's Trophy last year. Mm-hmm. They are a Stanley Cup favorite this year. And right now they're in a tailspin.
Yeah. 13 losses in the last 17, all in regulation. They basically started the year 12-4 and then went 4-12 prior to yesterday's game. So it's now 4-13. Now in, sorry for allowing me to even utter this, but in Laviolette's defense, Kreider has not had a great year, obviously, but holy cow are some of the others also guilty in this mess. Like, look at Zibanejad's numbers, and they do not have... Shayna was picking this apart before a lot of others were. And whether it was the defense corps, or whether it was the off-season Trouba talk, or the in-season Drury sharing of a, you know, who's on the block kind of thing, like, the delay in getting the Shesterkin deal done. Not that it had to be done. I get it. Like, he's under contract for this. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, it became messy real quickly in New York.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it was in New Jersey yesterday. The reason why I thought it was in New York is because I took the train into the city on Sunday, and my days all got confused. And I remember coming back to Grand Central, and a ton of Rangers fans were there after their loss to Carolina, and it looked very depressing. So my mind was thinking that was yesterday, but yesterday was at the Prudential Center in New Jersey. But you're right, like, Chris Drury has asserted himself as, look, okay, I'm the GM and president, and, you know, we're going to make some changes. He made a lot of changes inside the organization, not just coaching, trainers, equipment managers. There's was a lot of changes happening inside the organization. Mm-hmm. They had a really good year last year. They failed to advance, you know, in the playoffs to the Stanley Cup Finals. They were hoping to get there. Florida beats them. Whatever. Florida wins the cup. Okay, that's good. Now you can take a step forward again this year. It's not happened. And I feel like the game that the Rangers are playing, now they've changed a little bit. They've tried to be better defensively. But coaches usually are scared to make changes defensively because it often will limit your your thinking on offense. It's like you're so worried about how you're going to play defensively that you it limits the things that you want to do offensively. And right now, the Rangers are a proof of that. Like, they gave up five yesterday. I understand. That's not good defensively. But they have been pretty good defensively of late, but not scoring. They've been losing 2-1, been losing 3-0. It was 3-1, whatever. It was 5-0 yesterday, but they only gave up 29 shots. Jonathan Quick didn't have a good game. And that's what it comes down to at the end, is that they are so worried about their defensive game that they've forgotten how to play offensively, and some of the big guys are not performing.
Right. Quick's first half dozen of this year are a bit of a distant memory right now compared to how it's gone for him as late. And of course, this was a back-to-back for them. Shesterkin had played very well the day before.
Yeah.
It was a game star, but they lost to Carolina. So on and on it goes for the Rangers. The Jets finally got a little revenge on the Maple Leafs. They pummeled them yesterday 5-2 thanks to a Scheifele hat trick and Kyle Connor scoring a couple.
Not on Team Canada. The
Four Nations. Okay. There's still room for change. Bruins beat the Caps. The Blues blanked the Red Wings 4-0. The Lightning did the same to the Panthers, which gets us to Kucherov and Tkachuk.
Yes.
Was this, in fact, a collision of the two dirtiest superstars in the game today?
Not the two. Well, yeah, okay,
like,
superstars, yes.
Sneaky, dirty, that sneaky. People get reminded every time, like, oh,
and
this
Tkachuk
guy is
obviously sneaky. Right. But, okay, so I will give you my take on this hit.
Okay.
The NHL has allowed those type of hits to go unpunished because they feel like a player like Kucherov, who is leaning with his knee forwards, not sideways, forward to be able to deliver a hit, if he stays straight giving the hit, it is not on the hitter, it's more on the player receiving the hit to not have your leg extended that way, right? And they've been consistent. Guys do not get suspended. They get penalized on the play because the referee has to make a decision really quickly, but they don't get suspended. I hate the knee forward type of hit. I understand that that's a natural motion. You're pushing with your left leg. Your right leg goes forward. You want to go with the shoulder. You want to give a hit. And but then when you look at it, Kucherov never waved from the line. He stayed on that same line. His leg didn't go 6 inches to the right, a foot to the right. It didn't extend the knee. He was going for Tkachuk. Tkachuk's right leg stayed out a little longer, and Kucherov followed through, but on that same line. There's not going to be any discipline on that. I hate those hits. They're very dangerous, but we've seen that over and over again now. When you go forward with your knee, you don't get suspended.
Well, obviously, it ended up being in the. There's just... if you love intense rivalries, there's so much to salivate over from last night, from that incident, from their back-to-back, from their 4 to 5 years running now since that ridiculous playoff series where everyone, including Sam Bennett, was trying to kill everybody else, right? But the thing is, the Kucherov-Tkachuk thing happens less than a minute after the Lightning took a 3-0 lead. And John Cooper probably hates the fact that the Panthers are the reigning Stanley Cup champions, right? Yeah. And vice versa. This rivalry is so good. It's so good. And then it just went up another notch last night. And
Jonas Johansson, happy by the for way.
Jonas
old former Sabres Jonas Johansson.
Great shutout. Amazing, crazy saves within it. Yeah. So
it's not been a great year for him, and they've played Vasilevsky a ton. Mm-hmm. And now maybe that's going to allow them to say, okay, we got to ease up on Vasilevsky. But good for Jonas Johansson to be able to get that done. There was another rivalry of some sort that started to brew yesterday. And it's not a rivalry that I would think of, but it's this Montreal Canadiens or more Patrick Laine versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. Laine came out yesterday morning basically saying, you know what? The team quit on me. It's hard when every year you're losing and the team doesn't help you and doesn't support you. And he was pretty direct. And I was very shocked that Patrick Laine used that time and those words. Like, I'm like, okay, let's move on. But maybe that was part of his journey and he wanted to make a statement. And Columbus wins. Montreal has had a good last few games here, but Columbus wins. And after the game, like, a guy like Zach Werenski says, that's disappointing. Like, we were really good teammates to Patrick Laine.
I think he said that BS.
What's that?
He said it's BS. He didn't it's say BS, it's disappointing. Yeah.
Well, I'm using radio language.
So why?
So that's kind of like brewing a little bit now. And that, as a teammate, as a guy that's in the room, you know, if I felt like I did everything I could for somebody on the human side, yep. And then, you know, a year later, 6 months later, 8 months later, he comes out and he says that, I'd be like, listen, like, yeah. I was there for you, man. But I felt like that was personal yesterday.
Relationships are tough. Being human is not easy. We're going to take a quick break, come back with more Christmas-themed things when we continue on Sabres Live. Feel the heat from that fireplace to the max. Let's go.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Never enough time for us to convey our love for you and happy holidays to all. Yeah. And we did do some fishing on social media to try to get favorite Christmas songs from you today. So some of the responses, What Christmas Means to Me from Stevie Wonder, Last Christmas from Wham!, Christmas Wrapping by Waitresses, Little Drummer Boy. We've got McKenzie Brothers' 12 Days of Christmas, a Canadian classic if there ever was one. I'm going to throw in Christmas Shoes, but the version, the alternative version, by FM Static. It's one of my absolute favorites.
See, I feel like I'm more in a very classic, like,
I figured go you would
to
be.
Christmas Mass type of thing, and you have that. So Silent Night for me would be that one song that I remember learning to play it on the keyboard with my cousin. We were very young, and it was by numbers, you know, like you learn to hit the key by numbers, like 5, 3, 5, 2, like it was like this, right? And it was, so that's how you learned it. So Silent Night would be my favorite Christmas song right now.
Oh my gosh, somebody threw in I Won't Be Home for Christmas by Blink-182. Thank you to whoever that was. Oh my gosh. It's so ridiculous. Anyway, is there a note you wanted to send us off on? Whether it's Christmas movies, something from your heart, a fireplace candle, I don't know.
Well, enjoy watching Christmas movies and all that, but if you want to have something fun on your TV during the Christmas celebration, I send you to the Yule Log video that me and Dan Dunleavy and Sabretooth got to be a part of. It's basically on the loop, and it's a fireplace, but it's us having a little, well, I will say, snowball fight and stealing cookies and all of that. So it goes back and forth, and it keeps on going. So it warms up everybody's heart, but you see a couple of appearances from Dan and I on the video, and Sabretooth is great.
Thanks for the warning. I thought it was only a fireplace. I might not have it on my regularly scheduled programming now. Merry Christmas. Love you, Marty. Thanks, everyone. See you
Merry
soon.
Merry Christmas.